Hey, good morning, Go Church family. It is the second Sunday of the month. And if you are listening to this now and it's before 11 o'clock, you have enough time to arrive to the big Sunday gathering. And if you are, if it's after 10:30 or 11 o'clock and we've already begun, then we want you to know that we love you. And we're so glad that you are part of the Go Church family. And if you're watching this and you're not part of the Go Church family, we hope you enjoy your Sunday at your church. We're Matt and Julie Hadabaugh. We're the senior pastors of Go Church Beirut. And we want to welcome you to the Go Church podcast.
Welcome.
We want to welcome you to our home, to our dining room table. And you might see our puppies pop their heads in every once in a while because we're at home.
And you might hear our
puppies. And you might hear our puppies for sure.
Because they're at home.
That's right. That's right. But they're influencing us.
Welcome, and thanks for taking the time to watch the podcast with us for this month. And we're talking about influence, and we're looking at influence through three different lenses.
Yeah, the way that we're influenced.
The way we influence others.
And then the way that the church can corporately influence.
And really, we see that as God's plan, and that's our key scripture. In Ephesians chapter 3, that God intended the church to be an influence.
Right.
So I want us to just jump in.
Right.
We know we have a lot of things happening this month at Go Church.
Yes.
If you want to know more about those things, then contact us.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to make room for that, we're going to keep these sessions short, but we don't want them to be too light as well.
Right.
So we want to make sure that we cover important things that will prompt you to ask yourself questions, encourage you to study, and then enrich the discussions that we have in our group.
That's right. That's right. So why don't I read our purpose statement?
Yes.
So we're talking about influence this month, and we want the whole Go Church family to know that they were designed for influence.
Designed for influence.
That's right. Designed for influence. You know, we live in a world of many voices and influences that's coming into us.
How true is that?
Right.
It's amazing today. You know, if you imagine yourself even 100 years ago, the world was so much smaller and so much quieter. For people, because you were limited to what you could possibly know was happening outside of, you know, maybe immediate travel distance.
Right.
And the rise of the information age has made it to where the world is small, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because the gospel can go around the world now.
Right.
The church can use these means to influence people to hear the gospel.
Right.
But it also means that the world has gotten very loud.
That's right. That's right.
I'll be quiet so you can finish reading.
No, but you know, but it's important that because we have to continuously learn both to be influenced by the right influences, but also to be influencers to others to take our place as people who have the God-given ability to influence. I love the way that's said, because it is. It's God-given, and it's our ability to influence others. Not only do we carry influence as individuals, but together, as the church, corporately, we're given the highest level of influence in the world. So we have to learn how to use that influence.
That's right. And this is, not just our idea. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 3, which is our key scripture for the series.
Yeah.
Do you have that there?
I have it on the paper. Do you want to read it in a different translation?
No, go ahead and read it. Ephesians chapter 3.
This is the New King James. Sorry, I don't have a New King James paper Bible. I have all the others. So Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, it says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places."
So all of creation, seen and unseen, it's God's plan that
yeah.
everything that they're to know about the plan of God is to be through the church.
Right.
Or to say that a different way, the plan of God is that through the church, his wisdom, his truth
right.
is proclaimed.
Yeah.
The church is to occupy a place of prominence mm-hmm. in the world.
That's right.
And we could all look and say, well, that's not what we see today locally.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it can't change.
That's right.
Everything that is in the world today is subject to change.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the way we change things, as one friend of mine said this, and I just love the way he said it. The way to change things that are subject to change is by employing something right. that is not
subject to change. Yeah.
And the we could talk more about that, but that'll get us off our topic. It'll get me off my topic. But the intent of God's plan is that the church be a source of influence, not in and of themselves, but that we reflect him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that's really what we're looking at. And that begins with asking the question, okay, if I'm part of the church, what is influencing me?
Right, right. Isn't Paul's the one that said, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ?
That's exactly right.
That's an influence.
And so think about inviting someone to just do what you did
right.
yesterday.
Could you imagine being yeah. followed around for a week?
Paul said, you imitate me, I'm imitating Christ.
Right.
So as a leadership challenge, can the people that are in your sphere of influence follow you and get closer to God?
Yeah.
And if the answer to that is no, then, well, we have to make changes.
Right.
So I want us to turn over to 1 Timothy.
Okay.
1 Timothy chapter 4. And there's so much here. This will be great for our grow groups because you can really take the time to dig into what the scripture says and discuss these questions.
Yeah.
And that's really what happens in our grow groups. We don't have like a Bible teaching in the grow group, but instead we learn by discussion or we learn by dialogue. You know, today educators and people that study how we learn mm-hmm. tell us that that's a better way for us to receive or consume information.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really also just in the book of Acts. It's in the mm-hmm. example of the early church where they met together, they broke bread,
right.
and they devoted themselves to doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than just sitting and listening.
Yeah.
It's breaking it open and seeing how does this apply in my life today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. That's kind of a bold statement.
Right, right.
And obviously the picture here is that there is, there's probably someone somewhere today and they are using many words to say nothing.
Right.
And Paul tells Timothy, have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Have nothing to do with
right.
that. So there's a question. How much of what I say when I'm around my brothers and sisters in Christ or when I'm in my workplace, how much of what I say matters?
That's a great question to reflect on.
It is, because Jesus said that we have to give an account for every idle or empty word.
That's right.
If there's one verse or one truth that I see most Christians act like it doesn't apply to them, it's that one.
Right.
Because Sometimes that's a common American expression where people will say, well, I'm just saying. And what they mean by that is everything that I just said, I don't actually mean,
yeah.
or I don't want it to be
a reflection
literally. Or yeah.
I don't want you to quote me that I said that.
Paul told Timothy, have nothing to do with that kind of talk. One of the questions, and we'll get into this, you know, next week about being an influence. But before we talk about being an influence, who is it that we let just fill our ears?
That's good.
It's amazing to me the number of people that will come to us and they'll describe, you know, oh man, I sat with this person for 2 hours, and for 2 hours they just, you know, said this, and they said this, and they said this, and they said this, and I feel like I have to take a shower.
You're right.
And you know, the question I want to ask is, why did you let that go on for 2 hours?
Right.
I remember once I shocked someone. I interrupted them and I said, these, and I pointed to my ears, I said, these are not trash cans.
Right.
So you have to put that somewhere else, but not here.
Right.
Jesus told us to be very watchful what we hear. He said that in Mark 4. He said, take heed what you hear.
That's right.
And that applies, you know, what sermon I listen to, but it applies to what I listen to just generally.
Yeah.
We were talking with someone, and they were, this is years ago, they came to us and they said they were really struggling with fear.
Mm-hmm.
They had trouble falling asleep. They were dealing with nightmares. But not in the same conversation, but we knew this person. And I believe you asked, don't you watch scary movies?
Right. What are you allowing to influence
and
you?
And the person's like, yeah, what does that have to do with anything? A lot.
A lot. So, I want to say something to that, because, you know, I think many people will watch things that bring fear in. Like, we're not made to be fearful. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that we weren't given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so that means that we should feed on things that give us power, fill us, help refresh us full of love, and give us peace in our minds. And so if we're watching things, I can remember being a teenager and watching a scary movie, and I can remember sensing that in the room, something changed. Like, I was inviting something into my life that I didn't want to have place in my life. And I made a decision that I was going to stop watching stuff like that. Because why would I want something to influence me in that way? Why would fear be a positive in my life? Why would it be attractive? Fear is not attractive. It's maybe you think that it's attractive when it's happening to someone else. But if you were to apply those scenarios that are in scary movies into your life and they were happening to you, you wouldn't want to welcome that into your life. It'd be terrible.
The emotional play and the brain chemical response that a scary movie or even, you know, some emotional movie, we're not just preaching against movies, but the thing that happens, it can be soulishly addictive.
Right.
But it comes at a high cost.
Right.
And it reflects who and what we are allowing to influence us. So in applying this verse, you know, verse 8 says, for bodily discipline, this is 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily discipline is only of a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things.
Yeah.
Since it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life that is to come.
Right.
There are just some decisions that we need to make when we consider what is it that is influencing us. So in the same way an athlete would change their diet when they go to bed so that they could be at peak performance, I need to consider what is it that I'm consuming, the influences that I'm consuming, that are having an impact on me.
Right.
They're influencing me. They're changing the way I think, how I respond, mm-hmm. how I act. So not just to talk about movies,
right.
Movies today seem to showcase dysfunctional families,
right.
and dysfunctional relationships. And as if you want a healthy marriage, your entertainment should not be in the form of people committing adultery,
yeah.
or people finding finding fulfillment in sex outside of marriage.
Yes,
that is an influence that will show up in your relationships.
Yeah.
And I'm saying movies, but books can be just as bad.
Yes,
and a form of entertainment that highlights or showcases sin in a way that somehow justifies
yeah.
A sinful life
right.
is a lie.
Yeah.
And the author of that lie is the devil.
That's right.
So fueling your soul with yeah. that kind of influence, it's no surprise then that we encounter people that have genuine problems
right.
in their interpersonal relationships simply because of what they've been feeding on,
right.
what they're eating on, or what their influence is.
Right.
And there's a verse in Corinthians I want us to look at. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. Is it 33?
1 Corinthians chapter 15, is that right? Verse 33?
Yeah. It says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners.
Yeah. My version says, this is the New American Standard, says, do not be deceived, bad company
yeah.
corrupts good morals.
Say that again. That's true.
So it starts with, don't be deceived.
Right.
And why? Because
can be deceived.
Yeah, the lie is mm-hmm. this time won't matter.
Right.
The number one reason why people can't stick to a diet
right.
is this
cookie doesn't matter.
This little piece of cake, this cookie, it won't matter.
Put the Oreo down.
Maybe we shouldn't use diet as examples. But if you have this idea that, well, I can watch this show, I can hang out with this person, don't be deceived, the Bible says.
Right.
That who you keep company with will influence you.
That's right.
And that can be the people that are in your life, and it can also be the entertainment that you give yourself to, the music lyrics that are playing rent free in your head, mm-hmm. Inside of these entertainment pieces, inside of these words that are spoken to us, are influence, and that influence can push us in a direction, and it's up to us to decide, is this the direction I want to go?
Right. That's so true. You know, the three things I think that we have to focus on in our lives right now is, you know, what is it that I'm looking at, right? What is it that I'm listening to and feeding on? And what am I constantly meditating on, thinking about? You know, these are very important things.
A good question to ask yourself is, what am I excited about?
Right. That's a great question.
And if the answer is nothing, well, then that's probably a good indicator that the influences in your life are primarily negative.
Yeah. Matt often says, you know, that you should sneak up on yourself and hear what listen to what you're saying, and then also listen to what you're thinking about. And I did that the other day. I was in the kitchen and I was sitting there and I was like, what am I thinking about? And I just had a song on repeat in my head. And thank God that it was, I am right in front of God. I am the righteousness of God. I am blessed. These are the things that were just rolling around inside of my mind. And I thought, you know, there was a time when that was not the case.
Yeah.
There was a time when I would have been thinking about, you know, oh, the stupid decision that I made. Oh, this thing that I failed at. Oh, I could have done this better. But when we focus on feeding on things, putting things positive into our lives, being surrounded by positive influences, then our thought life changes. And when our thought life changes, the way that we view the world changes. When that view of the world changes, then we want other people to see the world that way. So we start to push and influence others so that they can see the world through that positive perspective. I can't tell you how many times that I've talked to someone, not just inside of Lebanon, but outside of Lebanon, and they would say negative things about the situation in the country. And Matt and I decided a long time ago that we weren't going to talk about what we see. We're going to talk about what we believe. And we're going to speak faith to everything because our words have creative power, right? And we see that in Genesis when God created the world, he spoke, and that's creative power. That's influence. And so we decided our words matter. And so we're going to speak what we want to see in Lebanon, that Lebanon is a fruitful land, that it is a mighty forest, that the cedars of Lebanon, which are the people in Lebanon, grow strong and are supernaturally smart and intelligent and are overcomers in all things. And so I think that it's important for us to really reflect on what we're listening to, what we're thinking about, what we're entertaining in our minds, and then how we can change that so it's positive, so that it's influencing us, it changes the way we see the world, then we influence others and change the way they see the world. And that's that corporate anointing where when we all see things one way, we're all going to focus on them changing to be that way. And that's how we're going to change a nation.
That's right. That's well said. We'll finish with this illustration. And this is something you can easily imagine, even do this in your home. You take a glass full of, and just fill it full of milk.
Yeah.
You look at that glass, it's opaque. Mm-hmm. You can't see through it. And if you took just a little bit of water, maybe enough water to fill a teaspoon and put it in the milk, you wouldn't see any change.
Right.
You wouldn't note really any difference.
Right.
It's still opaque in color. You can't see through it. But if you keep putting water in,
right?
If you keep putting water in, it will displace the milk.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you put it under a flow of water.
Right.
It will displace the milk very quickly.
Right.
And it doesn't happen immediately.
Right.
It happens over time.
Right.
But that's a good picture of what it looks like to put yourself in an environment of influence, godly influence.
Yeah.
You get into grow group and you have people around you that are influencing you with scripture. You put what you were talking about, you put music in your ears that are reinforcing what the Bible says about who you are in Christ and how God sees you. You eliminate voices in your life that would influence you away from the things of God. Then it looks like that glass getting filled and filled and filled with pure, clean water, and it displaces what was in the glass at first.
And that takes away the excuse, right?
Yes.
The excuse that that's just how I was raised.
Sure.
That's just my belief. That's just the culture that I'm from. That takes all of those excuses away because we were created by God for a purpose. So we weren't created to think any way. We weren't created to act any way. We were created for a relationship with God. So we're not just created to be milk, right? We're created to be Jesus. We're created to be Jesus in the flesh. And that means that we're subject to change. We have to change.
I don't mean to make milk a bad example. I like milk.
I like milk.
But you're exactly right. There are no excuses. There's no reason to say, oh, this is just my character. This is just the way I was raised.
Right.
Change.
Change, yeah.
And the...
You can do it.
How do you change? You change what comes in. You change what influences you.
Right.
People that live by themselves, that live isolated, that live disconnected, they struggle with seeing change in their life because they limit the positive godly influences that are actually intended, according to our key scripture, to make manifest the wisdom of God.
That's right.
So it's foolish to be disconnected from a community of believers because we influence one another to change.
That's right. That's right. We're so glad that you took the time to join us this week. Like Matt said, we intentionally tried to make these shorter, but pack a punch because we want it to be, we want it to fit inside of your life. We want it to influence your day and so that you can influence your world. We're so thankful that you joined us.
Thank you.
If you're listening for the first time, we want to say that if you're not part of a local church, we want to welcome you to join us at Go Church Beirut. You can reach out to us through social media. We would love to hear from you. And if you're listening to this today and you say, well, I've never received Jesus. I don't know how to receive Jesus. I don't know who Jesus is. We want to help you. We want to introduce you to Jesus. And maybe you've heard about Jesus and you've never made the decision to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We want to invite you to do that. It's very simple. Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you would be saved. And so we want to invite you to, you know, say this with us, that Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose to heaven and that you're seated there and that you're coming again. And I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And that's it. That's it. You are part of the family of God. God doesn't make it hard. He didn't make it challenging for his kids to come back into relationship with him. He made it easy. So there's nothing that you can do on your own other than confess that with your mouth. There's nothing that you have to work through. God doesn't want you to be perfect before you come home. He wants you to come home so that he can be in relationship with you.
That's right.
So, have a wonderful week. If no one's told you yet today, we want to tell you that we love you.
We love you.
That we're praying for you.
God bless you.
And we'll see you next time.